Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Tim Hayes on Mind Shifters Radio. And I'm here to help first iron out some technological difficulties and then talk about the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are traveling today. They're going to Costa Rica to check out a property for some kind of doing some workshops and some other things. And I'm not sure what Michelle's area code is, but
I'm right here.
Are you 248?
Yes.
Wonderful. So Michelle Pichet is with us, and you can keep trying, Michelle. It finally worked for me, so I have the switchboard up, and I could turn you on.
Okay. Well,
And I think it's possible for both of us to have the switchboard on at the same time, and then you could watch that, or we can just co-host as we're doing it now.
Okay, well, I will continue to work on it. I'm glad I did. We welcome everybody today to Mind Shifter Radio and invite you to call in at 646-200-4169. Dr. Tim and I are here to help you process the learning and practice of forgiveness, and we'd love to hear your comments and questions and help support you in making this your show today. Did you have a nice dinner?
Well, let's just talk about how today is Friday, November 29th. And let's talk about, while you work on your technological stuff to see if you can get hooked into the switchboard, I will just do a brief intro of what our work is here. We're here for the tool of the ancient process of forgiveness. And what that's about is not pardoning someone. That's about reaching inside my mind and removing whatever is less than the energy of love that doesn't belong there. And most of us have been raised in a culture that has us conditioned to believe that things outside of us are causing what we're feeling inside of us. And nothing could be further from the truth. And this is ancient knowledge. It cuts across many different cultures. It's not just Dr. Michael Rice, and he's got a corner on the market of truth, and it's not just Guy Finley is the only one who knows. It's not just Krishnamurti or Way of Mastery or Course in Miracles. The fact of the matter is it's here to be observed. What I think, what I choose to focus my conscious awareness upon, literally creates my experience of life in each moment. And my thoughts, if I pour enough energy into them, literally create the emotions I'm feeling. So if I understand, if I'm observing accurately and correctly what's happening in my life, I begin to see I'm the one who's initiating the mind energy of thought, and that's creating my experience in each moment. That's what is used to focus on tiny little bits of information that I then use to create my experience in each moment. And I have an example here of how this is not just related, this is not an exclusive piece of knowledge for Dr. Rice's work or the ancient Aramaic scriptures. I have a preface from a book I'm going to read a little bit of. And the title of the book is Leadership and Self-Deception. The preface reads, "For too long, the issue of self-deception has been the realm of deep-thinking philosophers, academics, and scholars working on the central questions of the human sciences. The public remains generally unaware of the issue. And that would be fine, except that self-deception is so pervasive that it touches every aspect of life. Touches is perhaps too gentle a word to describe its influence, because self-deception actually determines one's experience in every aspect of life. The extent to which it does that, and in particular the extent to which it determines the nature of one's influence on and the experience of others, is the subject of this book. To give you an idea of what's at stake, consider the following analogy. An infant is learning how to crawl. She begins by pushing herself backward around the house. Backing herself around, she gets lodged beneath the furniture. There she thrashes about, crying and banging her little head against the sides and the undersides of the piece of furniture. She's stuck, and she hates it. So she does the only thing she can think of to get herself out. She pushes even harder, which only worsens her problem. She's more stuck than ever. If this infant could talk, she would blame the furniture for her troubles. After all, she's doing everything she can think of, so the problem couldn't be hers. But of course, the problem is hers, even though she can't see it. While it's true she's doing everything she can think of, the problem is precisely that she can't see how she is the problem. Having the problem she has, nothing she can think of will be a solution. Self-deception is like this. It blinds us to the true causes of problems. And once we're blind, all the, quote, solutions, unquote, we can think of will actually make things worse. So that's the beginning of exactly what we're talking about here with the ancient Aramaic art of forgiveness. Most of us in this culture have been taught to think our pain, our sadness, our fear, our hurt, our offense, our insult are being caused by the outside world and by other people saying or doing things that we don't like, that we don't want them to do, that are bad, that are wrong, doing things to us. And the actual fact of the matter is I am creating my own experience in each moment with what I choose to focus my attention upon. Now, Dr. Michael Rice likes to talk about some Harvard research where they cite research that says, in the period of time that 10,000 units of electrical activity fire in my brain, I'm only able to be aware of 9, that's 0, 9, one short of 10, not 10,000, not 9,000, 9 single bits of information, while my brain is processing 10,000. And in that same period of time, it's estimated that there are 20 trillion bits of information available in the world around me. Another way to think about that is that in some form or another, there are probably 20 trillion bits of information hitting my senses, you know, coming into my physical awareness in my senses. So someone just sent me an email from an article in the Huffington Post where it says, the human brain takes in 11 million bits of information every second, but is aware of only 40. So we are living in a world that is an energy field within an energy field within an energy field within an energy field. And the antenna that we have to use to interpret, to receive that information and interpret it, simply cannot keep up with or receive wide ranges of the energy vibrations that are there. And so we make approximations based on what we are able to pull in through these antenna that we call the eyes and the ears and the hands and the skin and the taste buds. And we make a guess about what life really is like. And every time we make a guess about what life really is like, and it leaves us feeling some form of anger or fear or sadness or hurt, that's the Creator's way of giving us an alarm system to let us know we're making a mistake. We've chosen the wrong 40 bits of information when our brain was processing 11 million bits of information. In this moment, in this instant, I've chosen the wrong 9 bits of information to create my reality. And when I do that, I'm tapping into energies that I'm creating that are leaving me feeling anger, fear, sadness, hurt, frustration. And if I keep looking outside of myself for a solution to that, I will be doomed to prison within my own senses, within my own thought pattern, for as long as I keep looking outside of me. The ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness is about how to wake up to the alarm that's going off inside of me and turn the focus of my attention away from the things outside of me onto what's going on inside of me, apply the tool of forgiveness, which means to cancel and dismantle the energies that don't belong there, to cancel and dismantle the inappropriate estimations and guesses I've made of what's really happening in the world, and return the focus of my attention to my true nature, which is that energy of creation. Some have called it love. Some have called it God. Some have called it spirit. But it's energy, and it's flowing, and it wants to grow. It wants to feel expansion. It wants to be creative. It wants to be loving. It wants to be compassionate. And anything that's less than that within my experience is something for me to dismantle. So that's what we're here to talk about, the tool for that, which has been made available to us at this time, is through Dr. Michael Rice's work and the ancient Aramaic Kabur's manuscript, and it can be found for free at www.whyagain.org. And if you go to that website, click on the link that says Start Here, or click on the red and white bullseye in the center of the page, it will take you to a page where you can download Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You can download the most recent version of the 7-step worksheet process, and you can download, and you are strongly encouraged to download and listen to 6 audio files where Dr. Rice and or Jeannie walk someone through the process of forgiveness with the Reality Management Worksheet tool. And if you do that, you'll have more far more than you need to become a student, and eventually, by becoming a perpetually avid student of this work, a master of using the tool of forgiveness on yourself, in your own energy system, around the issues in your life which leave you feeling anger, fear, sadness, pain, hurt, frustration, or guilt, all of which are useful alarms to tell you that the focus of your conscious energy of awareness is off the mark. So I'll take a breath and ask Michelle if there's anybody with a hand up or any questions in the chat room.
Thanks, Tim. Nobody is in the chat room quite yet, and got several people listening, but nobody with their hand up right now.
All right. So how was your holiday weekend, or the beginning of it, yesterday?
It was quite lovely. My husband and I spent the day with our five kids and listened to the show and cooked, had dinner, and then the evening activity was watching home videos from when we first got together 11 years ago. And the youngest was still in diapers, and so all the little kids, all the little videos, I mean, it was interesting because now they're all teenagers, and so it was quite a hoot seeing their personalities in the home videos, and then as they are pretty much adults now, and so everyone got a kick out of it. It was a lot of fun.
It sounds like a delightful time.
Yeah, but the weekend, though, more Thanksgiving parties, different sides of the family, so I'm looking forward to it, just having it unfolded. I'm actually working today, though. I came to the office to pick up, catch up with some clients that I had to miss from being in Florida last week. So as the universe designed, I've actually got Rachel here with me, who I'm introducing to the work. She is a very intelligent 17-year-old woman, and we discuss the concepts that Michael Rice discussed, and I invited her, with her permission, to share a little bit, because she has some skepticism about some of the things I'm actually presenting to her, and I thought it would be maybe helpful to hear it from a different perspective. I brought some images up today of little babies, little newborn babies, to help her get into that space. But maybe she can language it herself. She actually does radio show herself, so she's pretty comfortable with this format.
Hi, I'm Rachel. I guess my biggest problem is the idea that you can get back to that place of when you were a child, when you were a baby, of the pure happiness or the pure love. And it's just like I have difficulty with comprehending the idea that you could erase everything that has shaped you, like all the pain and the heartbreak and, the negative things that have happened to you. It's kind of, it's just hard to think that you could ever get back to such a pure way of looking at the world, I guess.
All right, so your first name again is?
Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. Well, that's an excellent question, and there are probably a variety of different answers for it. My suggestion would be that you not try to do any of that, and that you simply pick up the tool and apply it one situation at a time and see the results for yourself. I mean, skepticism is a wonderful thing. I think yesterday on the show, Michael even said something like, or maybe this is a Guy Finley. Yeah, Guy Finley has a talk where he said, there's a Stevie Wonder song where he says, when you believe in things that you don't understand and you suffer. So we're advocating that people drop the belief systems, whatever they are, and come to live more very directly in the moment using direct observation. So I don't want to try and convince you of anything. I just want to suggest that you pick up the tool and apply it to a situation. Now, in talking about the rest of your statement or a question, I would offer that we don't erase our past experiences. We don't change our history. And when I work with people, I'm very careful to say, we're not going digging through your history looking for all the pain. But if there's something that you're trying to do today, something that you would like to have be different, and in the process of dismantling that, it leads us to an energy that you have stored, a belief system that you're holding on to from a past interaction. And the thoughts around that belief keep generating anger or fear or sadness or hurt, then let's get to work on figuring those out and dismantling them one by one. This doesn't change your past. You will still have a memory of the events. But when this is done effectively, those events become neutral. And the pain I have attached to a memory, the emotional pain, the fear, the sadness, the hurt, can be dismantled. And I can still be in full possession of the memory and the lessons that I can derive from having had that experience. But this isn't about changing my past. This is simply about changing the thought energy that I keep generating around those past events and the negative emotions that I keep generating without realizing that it's me generating them. So does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. What would be an ideal situation to start with using the tools? Like you said, you know, start with one situation. Like, what's an example of a good starting place?
Any negative emotion I'm having in the moment, or any recurring thought that leaves me feeling unsettled or unhappy or sad or scared or hurt. You know, recently on the show, I talked about how when I first got introduced to the tools, I would have something that would occur, and my response to it would be either anger or sadness or fear in the moment. And I would know, oh, this is a good thing. I should go do a worksheet on this. And in the past few weeks, I've had several situations happen where, as the event is unfolding, I'm feeling very calm, very centered, feeling like I have a balance with my emotions and my logic, and the situation resolves itself, and then 2 or 3 or 5 or 28 hours later, I'm still thinking of it. And I'm not aware of a negative emotion, but if I'm still thinking of it 28 hours later, it's probably a good target for a few worksheets. I've learned is that means I'm hiding from myself the negative thoughts and the emotions attached to it. So it could be anything from somebody doesn't show up for an appointment to somebody questions something I just said on the radio show to my son getting into serious trouble with the law. Any situation that I then use to generate negative thoughts and emotions is a wonderful target for a worksheet or a whole series of them. And I have lots of personal individual examples, but there are 6 on the website that you can download, and I'm sure that if you're working with Michelle, you can just talk about any current situation in your life that has you feeling less than love and start right there.
Well, you know, it's funny. We did a worksheet in session and explained it to her, and had her take one home and test it out. And the next week she's like, "What else you got?" as far as the jewels. And so, and I'm saying this with her permission. So I gave her a mind shifter. Actually, I let her her spirit pick the numbers, and we got the affirmation down, and she went home to journal. She liked that idea, kind of like you said, a structured journaling. And I don't know, what was it, like 20 minutes into it, you said?
Yeah, it was like 20 or 30 minutes into it, and it was just, it was a little too rough. It, like, you know, it cut open a wound or whatever, and then something happened the next day with my father that kind of poured salt in the wound, and I couldn't take it. So I actually almost went to the hospital because of how overwhelming it was. Like, I think in the end, obviously, I believe that it was a good experience overall. I think it was good to, you know, show strength and really find out what's going on. But how deep that the mind shifter can really get into your own mind, it's overwhelming at times. It's
all right.
Difficult.
So what you're talking about is a perfect set of targets for the worksheet process. These wounds and the salt that gets poured in the wounds. Listen to your language. There's a part of you that believes that something outside of you deeply hurt you from these past interactions, and you're carrying them around and reactivating those thoughts, which is reactivating the emotions and the experience of pain. And this work would have you tune into the idea that pain, the anger, the fear, the sadness, the hurt, the wound you're talking about, the salt being poured in the wound, is an alarm system to help you see, oh, my thoughts are off target. Here I am sitting in a climate-controlled room with a therapist who's trying to be supportive, and I'm experiencing anger, fear, sadness, hurt, whatever it is. How am I creating that? Well, let me look inside myself for a change instead of focusing on things outside of me or things from my past, and let me dismantle what I'm using within my own thought to generate this alarm that's going off. So whatever goals you had for people in that mind shifter that they weren't satisfying, that would be a wonderful place to start a worksheet. Identify the goal that you had for your father, or identify the goal that you had for your mother, or whoever else was in that material that you were pouring out on the page in your mind shifter. And you can start that worksheet process at any level. So maybe you just become aware of a goal I had for my dad, and you write the goal in, and then you back up and fill in, this was about my dad, and this is what was happening, and this is the thought I have, and this is the emotion. And so that would be an answer to your question. That would be a wonderful place to start the reality management worksheet process, the material that got stirred up in your mind shifter.
And using the worksheet will eventually allow me to let go of the anger and of the I suppose maybe a little betrayal of, you know, not living up to the expectations that I have, you know, and to forgive all of that pain and forgive the people who I believe caused it, even though, you know, like you said, it started within myself.
Well, let me just say that you could allow yourself to let go anytime you choose. There's no force outside of you that's forcing you to hold on to the thoughts and emotions that are generating this pain within you. You do have, and this is something that you can observe for yourself with a little practice, you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment. So as I listened to your language and you were asking me if using the worksheet would allow you to do something, I'm here to tell you that all the great spiritual traditions I've ever read about recognize this one truth. You allow yourself, you choose, you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness. So if you wanted to allow yourself to let go of this, you could at any moment, whether there's a worksheet process involved or not. Now, you may not know how, and the worksheet process may be able to show you. You may be like most of us who are stuck in the conscious logical mind, conditioned to think we've got to think our way through this. But as Einstein said, we've been given a precious gift and a faithful servant, but we live in a culture that has forgotten the gift and elevated the servant to the level of master. Now, the precious gift he was referring to is intuition, and the faithful servant he was referring to is the logical mind. So, every worksheet, or most of them, different versions of them, have hit this in different levels, but the current worksheet spells it out very clearly when it says, my mind is using sustained incoherence, and what that means is, I'm thinking my way into a situation where I feel anger or fear or sadness, and I'm using my thoughts to create that pain, and then I decide I'm going to think my way out of it. But it's my thoughts that are creating my own emotions. So I'm not going to think my way out of it. And every worksheet process has me canceling my need to be right, canceling my need for anyone or anything else outside of me to change, specifically canceling the goal I'm holding in this individual worksheet, and asking for help from some higher level of awareness or energy to be shown the hidden part of my mind that's actually creating my pain. So the worksheet will not allow you, but the worksheet is a tool that you could choose to pick up and use and do the work. You can allow yourself at any moment to reconnect your conscious awareness to your true nature as love and breathe and feel that energy flowing through you, the energy that's keeping your heart pumping and your food digesting and your lungs breathing without you having to think about it at all. Are you breathing?
Yeah, I agree. What you said makes a lot of sense. I feel like at times I can allow myself to, you know, connect and really feel. Michelle was there one time when I was feeling good and I felt, you know, connected to the universe or whatever. But it's like a faulty wire, you know. I guess it takes maintenance and you gotta keep taping it up and. It's just their struggle. It's difficult to maintain it and to keep yourself.
Well, let me suggest that it isn't so much a faulty wire as it is decades of conditioning in my life and the energetic impressions I received from thousands of generations in my bloodline. So my job is to develop a part of my mind that watches, observes myself, observes my thought process and my habit and my conditioning and stays alert to the times when I fall back into the old conditioning and then without judging myself, without beating myself up, simply takes a breath and chooses anew in that moment to cancel the goal, to drop the conditioned reflex, to observe myself from an impartial, loving, accepting position. There's a woman who is, she's a Jewish Buddhist. Sylvia Boorstein, I think, is her name, and I love the way she talks about it. Whenever she's feeling anger or fear or sadness, she puts her hand over her heart space, and she says, Sylvia, dear, sweetheart, you're in pain. Take a few deep breaths. We'll look at what's going on, and then we'll decide what to do. But for now, sweetheart, you're in pain. Take a few deep breaths. We'll look at what's going on, and then we'll decide what to do. So I think it's important that we learn to be more gentle with ourselves and we realize we're not broken, we're not damaged. We may have some old habits and some conditioning running us. But with awareness and with some tools, we can drop the old patterns and learn some new skills to apply and dismantle the energy and the belief and the thoughts that say we are less than love, because they are all in error. I got an email from somebody earlier in the week that said, some work I did recently brought me to a new level. She said, I've struggled with the Dr. Rice worksheets for years. One of the hang-ups for me was, quote, releasing my need to be right, unquote. I didn't get it until yesterday. Consequently, I did 5 worksheets this morning with more meaning and understanding than ever. So if you're struggling with the worksheet process, you're probably like most of us who are trying to make sense of things through the logical mind and through the conditioning of years, if not decades, that say we have to think our way out of it and that other people are causing what we're feeling. And my best recommendation for you is, don't believe a thing I'm saying. Try it. Try it for yourself. And congratulations to you for picking up that mind shifter tool and using it to uncover some of the hidden parts of your mind that are generating what sounds like a significant amount of pain. You talked about wounds and salt in wounds and feeling so intensely overwhelmed that you almost went to the hospital. That's fabulous that you would let yourself uncover what you've been doing to yourself all these years and then open the possibility in that same moment that you can dismantle some of it. Congratulations.
Dr. Kim, I definitely second that. I've been telling Rachel for as long as I've known her how amazing she is, and the opportunity that presented itself today in terms of her willingness to come on the show and discuss it openly with you and take another look at things is very inspiring. She was encouraged to use the commitment to myself tool, and she struggled with it.
Put me on the spot, huh? Yeah, I just, it's difficult when you see yourself as nothing but hate and see yourself as something awful and something that...
Well,
I
have to correct you there, because I don't see myself as nothing but hate and something that's awful. Do you know somebody
okay.
who does?
Yeah. Yeah, this girl, her name's Rachel. but no, when I see myself as something, as, you know, staying on, like, you look around the world and... If you actually
go out in nature.
Who's
looking around the world?
When I look around the world and I am in nature and I look at it and, you know, I see how beautiful it is and how perfectly at peace everything is, and then I see myself as something that shouldn't belong, that doesn't belong. So
I would love to support you in dismantling that view of yourself. And I want to encourage you to take some deep breaths and realize that any time you see anyone or anything and you believe you're experiencing them as beautiful or wonderful or creative or intelligent or loving, that the old schoolyard admonition is absolutely true. It takes one to know one. And in that moment, when you're seeing nature and you're seeing it as beautiful, the only way you could see or recognize its beauty is if it was resonating that same beautiful energy within you. It can't happen otherwise. Are you breathing?
Yes. No, she wasn't. Yes, like, that's the thing.
Well, let me just encourage you to breathe for a moment rather than talk about how that's the thing. Just breathe for a minute and think about last time you were in nature and you felt it was just gorgeous. And just resonate a little bit with some of the words I've just shared. And notice what comes up for you. What do you notice?
I suppose somewhat recognition of the truth of your words. It definitely makes sense, you know, what you were saying about you can only see it if it's also within yourself.
So I would encourage you the next time you're around someone or something in nature that you see as desirable or pleasant or intelligent or lovely or beautiful, and if at that time the thoughts come up within yourself that you were mentioning before, that you're less than that, think about what goal you're holding for yourself in that moment. And just take a chance on canceling that goal and ask to be shown the hidden part of your mind that's actually holding the pain that you're experiencing in that moment or that's being generated by that thought. Thoughts, comments, questions?
Thank you. I really appreciate your wisdom and the fact that you shared it with me.
Okay, well, you're entirely welcome, and I would just remind you that my wisdom is limited to the idea that I'm learning to live more by direct observation and apply some tools. So please don't believe what we're saying. Pick up the tools and try it. Belief is literally a prison. So choose love, choose freedom, choose to apply the tools, and it seems like you're like many of the rest of us, with the possible exception that you've got more willingness and courage than most, and you're carrying around lots of negative thoughts and beliefs about yourself. And I would love to be able to support you, and I know Michael and Jeannie would, and I know Michelle would, in dismantling all of those negative thoughts and beliefs about yourself and any traumatic energies that you might be carrying around in your energy system that are just blocking your ability to see your true nature.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tim. Rachel doesn't know there's a love exchange in her future, but we'll get to that. She's declined that opportunity, but I will continue to ask. So thank you. Listen, we've got Richard with his hand up, so why don't we say hi and see what's going on in New York?
Hi, Dr. Kim. How are you guys?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Richard. Hi.
Good. I'm actually diving, but I just wanted to jut in here and say how wonderful this conversation. I've been listening to it for about a half an hour, and I just wanted to say how great the conversation is and what's been going on, the conversation between you two, and I really appreciate that. I think it's a great one of the great talk shows that's being recorded. Anyway, I also wanted to mention to Dr. Tim, he talked about the incoherent energy in the first part of the worksheet. But what really isn't talked about in the other half of the worksheet is the coherent energy, which is just the way I see things. Basically, that light energy is coming into the world. The chlorophyll transforms it for our use. The animals use. In the end, it's light energy that's building up in the system, and life itself is basically coherent energy moving through the system. So in the end, what the life force is really the coherent energy that's it's activated to create the life force. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there that we really don't discuss that much. It's not really pointed out in the worksheet process. It's that coherent energy that we really actually after building, and in the essence, is the essence of love. So I just wanted to throw that little comment in there and just say how wonderful today's show is, and definitely have to mark that one and send out to a few of my friends. So thank you very much for that great show today.
You're very welcome, Richard, and thank you. And, there are several of Dr. Rice's talks where he taps into it, especially in the more recent talks, because he's still learning and we're all still learning. But scientists today will tell us that beginning with Einstein, when Einstein said, there is no such thing as matter. Everything is energy. What we've heretofore called matter is energy, energy which has been so slowed as to become perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. And since that time, scientists have developed greater sensitivity with their tools, and they've come to conclusions such as all matter is condensed light energy. And as they keep working with it, they're seeing more and more as they get into the quantum level of things that actually our mind energy has a tremendous impact, a creative impact, on the light energy and on what gets slowed and what gets sped up and what gets perceived. And in a very real way, the goal of each worksheet is to remove from my conscious awareness and my unconscious mind and my energy field any energy which is less than that creative energy, that loving energy, that coherent energy that Richard is talking about. And as I do so, it changes my experience of life. So thank you, Richard. That's a wonderful point.
Well,
okay, so Michelle, any other thoughts from you or Rachel? Any other people with their hand up?
I just had to mute Richard. I actually want to comment on that. I'm reading a book right now called Advanced Studies of the Human Aura. The subtitle is How to Charge Your Energy Field with Light and Spiritual Radiance. And there's a paragraph here. It says, the aura of the great central sun contains all of the life-giving frequencies that sustain all created life at all levels of awareness, from the tiniest microorganisms to the most massive of suns and galaxies. Through divine intelligence, the great central sun is able to feed the specific frequencies required by each created being that are essential to its life, regulating what is able to be received and assimilated by that one. The great suns at the center of the various solar systems receive a much more powerful conveyance of divine light food in comparison with what the tiny creatures that exist deep within the earth are able to feed on. And it just goes on to say that, as some of you have discovered, when you refine your lives and learn the science of solar gazing, you will be amazed to realize that the cells of your being can actually be nourished more by the pure divine food of the sun's rays than by the diets that the dietitians of today teach. So, and it's fascinating to me in terms of human evolution that we could be moving as, let's say, doing the forgiveness work and raising your vibration and being able to become a solar being, and kind of like, I think, maybe more closer to how we started before we came into a dense matter. So I just a thought that I wanted to share, given what he said and some some extra reading I'm doing on the side.
Yeah, that other kind of activity.
Curricular. There we go. So, actually, we've got about 7 minutes left, and let's say hi to Sunny.
Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I am great, thank you. I don't know if maybe this helps Rachel, but that whole Dr. Tim, like he's communicating today about figuring it out and all of that, for myself, it was just the little voice inside my head to just knock on the door and it shall be opened unto you. And a quote from another author is that we don't have to understand this stuff. We just have to be willing to allow it in. And when I reached the point for myself of just saying, okay, you know, Ruka, you have my full willingness, I fully submit, then that's when things started to change for me. And I didn't have to be afraid. I was just willing and just allow it to come in, if that helps Rachel, because I could kind of hear, you know, kind of hear that in her responses to much of this. It's just, you don't have to be afraid. Just fully submit to the willingness. And that, yes, you want to know, you want to understand it, but just let it flow and it will come. That's how it occurred for me, and hopefully that helps her. And for time's sake, I was texting some people, you know, in the Facebook, and I noted that when I was referring or mentioning to my friend about the whyagain.org, it automatically brought up the logo for the website. And I just wanted to encourage, maybe share that with people, that if you're not communicating this through your Facebook friends, it's a really subtle way of referring others and spreading the word and the message that we do exist. And kind of a nice little promotional way of, you know, maybe putting our own quotes and inspirations during this holiday season out to people, and at the same time referring them to the radio show and the website. And I just noted that yesterday when I found a couple people that were kind of down in the dumps, and I thought, well, here, while you're sitting there all by yourself on the holiday, go to the website and see if that lifts you, you know. And I noticed that that prompt does come up. So that's kind of a nice way of gifting people and promoting and spreading this word and doing your own little ministry, is that that prompt will pop up for people to access material that otherwise we may not be reaching. And that's about it.
Right. Thank you. Thank
You're
you
very
and
welcome.
Have a wonderful weekend.
I am looking forward to it, and God bless you.
All right, Michelle, anybody else in the last 5 minutes with a question or a comment or a hand up?
Nope, not right now. Chat room was very quiet today, and we don't have any other callers in queue, so actually, if anybody's listening wants to pop in and say hi, we can do that here before we close out.
Any last-minute comments or questions from Rachel?
No, not from me. I want to say thank you to the callers, Richard and Sunny. I hope it was Sunny, right?
Yes.
Sorry. It was quite interesting listening to you guys, and I really appreciate your views and helpfulness. So thank you. And thank you to Dr. Tom?
Tim.
I'm sorry. I'm awful with names. Dr.
Well,
Tim.
No reason to apologize. We are greatly appreciative of all the calls and questions, but it's an extra special treat to have somebody there with Michelle who's done some work and had some, you know, powerful questions. We keep encouraging people to ask your questions, because if you have the question, it's everybody's question, and it's a wonderful nudge to the show to get us to talk once again about the idea that we do not want you to believe what we're saying. We don't want you to be a follower. We don't want you to be belong to our group. We want you to try these things out and see if it improves your life. If it does, great, do more of it. If it doesn't, move on to some other school of thought or tool or way of meditation or prayer, because it's your birthright, some would say. It's what you were meant to be on this planet, is that energy of creation, to live from that space of love. How do we know that? Well, because that's how we start. And time after time, babies are born, and the adults around them look at them and have that same feeling. And sometimes they're lucky enough to get stirred to the actual recognition and remembrance of when they felt that way. And that energy of creation, that energy of love, that energy of acceptance and gentleness and creativity is what we're made of. And we don't want you to believe it. We want you to just observe it. And if you're having difficulty observing that energy flow within yourself, one great way to do it is find a newborn child, or find an infant that hasn't yet had the thumbprints of the world placed upon him or her, and just breathe in that breath. Just sit with that light and let it awaken. Let it awaken memories within you. And then, once that memory's been awakened, if you have any difficulty sustaining that, pick up some tools to help you clear out the garbage in your mind and your body's energy system that keep you from tuning into that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in that process, work at having the best year yet of your eternal life. Thank you so much, Rachel and Michelle. Join us again next week.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Here we go.